Welcome to Your Next Mission, the nation's number one video podcast on military transition and leadership. We tell the stories of those who served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition and financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now, here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, and welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Our guest today has worn two prestigious uniforms. One as a member of the U.S. Olympic team, and one as a soldier in the United States Army. Before we meet him, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you could start your comeback, and USAA, where we take care of our own. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together they make Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Matt Mortensen, who represented America in two Olympic Games, was part of the U.S. Army World Class Athlete Program, and just received an MBA from Purdue Global University. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sergeant Major. Thank you for having me. I very much appreciate the invite and look forward to talking to you today.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. Before we do that, go any further, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? Take about a minute and tell the audience just all the positive things about Matt.
Sure. My name's Matt Mortensen. I'm originally from Long Island, New York. I am one of seven kids, so a nine-person family, lots of fun in that house. Started the sport of luge at a young age. Roughly, I was 11 or 12 years old when I started. And competed in that sport for about 20 years, working my way up from the junior national level to the Olympic level. Ended up competing in two Olympic Games in 2014 in Sochi, Russia, and 2018 in Pyeongchang, South Korea. And during that time, I also happened to join the military in 2010 and served as a member of the U.S. Army National Guard and World Class Athlete Program from 2010 to 2019. After sport and post-military, I went into the civilian side of the world and ended up transitioning into finance, where I am today. I got my bachelor's degree while I was still competing, and as Sergeant Major just noted, I was fortunate enough to complete my MBA via Purdue Global on the GIL program, which is, you know, big achievement for me.
Hey, Matt, I believe you're the first Olympian we've ever talked to on the show, and I know you're the first luge athlete I've ever talked to, so let's start there, okay? Let's get that just sort of rolling there. And I got a couple crazy questions. How fast are you going is the first question. What protection do you have, and what made you think it was a good idea to go down at that kind of speed?
Great. I think I'll answer the what made me do it. When you're young and dumb, you'll kind of do anything, right?
There you
go. Or no speed aside. I think the fastest that I've gone on the sled was about 87 to 90 miles an hour when we were competing in Whistler, Canada, and going from the original start heights. So it depends what type of track or where you are, grade. There's a lot of factors that go into the actual speed per track because every track is different, but that was definitely one of the faster ones. In the form of protection, we only really have a helmet, and I actually have one right here for you. But this was the helmet I used in the 2018 games. And so luge is a sport of aerodynamics. So we care much more about that than our actual protection.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have your helmet. That's usually a carbon Kevlar. You have a face shield. You're wearing a speed suit to make sure that the wind is passing over your body as best as possible. You have these little shoes we call booties, nice and smooth on the bottom, point your toes for you automatically. And then separately, we wear gloves that have spikes on them. Look just like this.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So that you can paddle down the track. And that's actually the only time when we as athletes in that sport can physically move ourselves forward. The rest wow. is up to aerodynamics and good driving skills.
Yeah, I was watching you going down the sled, and at the very end, you was, I guess, pulling up the front of the sled so you can actually stop it. Is that right? I
mean, yeah, there are no brakes on luge sleds.
So I didn't think it would be.
At the end of every single run, there's what we call the outrun. It's yeah. probably a quarter mile long, and that's the area where an athlete will complete their run, go through the finish curve, break that final timing eye, and pull up on the sled to reduce their speed.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, when did you realize you might be good enough to really compete at really the highest level? I mean, that's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that you start to feel what you'll call the Olympic pull when you're a junior national team athlete and you start competing internationally. Once you get to that level, the pool of athletes that you're dealing with kind of narrows down just through attrition. The better athletes tend to move into the senior national level and the Olympic level. And I was on a very good path from my early years with winning races and showing speed. I think in that sport and most speed sports like bobsled and skeleton, things that are on that combined track, we're really looking to see who's going fast, because you can teach skills. You can help people to refine their skills to get down the track and really bring value out of that speed, but you have to be going fast.
Yeah. Hey, and Matt, you said you had seven in your family. Is that correct? Or did I miss
it? I do. Yeah. There's five boys and two girls.
Okay. Did you ever compete with your brothers or sisters in that?
I competed with my brother, Joe. And actually, Joe and I joined the military together in 2010, which is where we had our start there. But he competed with me on the same team for about 6 years of overlap. There's 3.5 years difference between us, with me being older. And Joe actually exited the sport in 2014. So I continued for another 4 years.
Yeah. Hey, how did you become part of the Army's world-class athlete program? I guess when you got the National Guard, you applied for that. I'm not sure how you get into that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, in 2010, I had just missed making the Olympic team. I was about 24 years old. And for the first time in my life, I was like, oh man, what am I doing? It was my aha moment, right? And so I was like, I really need a couple of core things to be able to continue this. I need support. I need an education if I want to come out on the back end with opportunity, right, to get a job. And what can I do to start setting myself up for that career? And at the time, I knew there were a couple of athletes in a couple of different sports that were participating in military programs. One of those was the National Guard Outstanding Athlete Program. I believe there was an Air Force program. And this is broad sports. It's not just for Winter Olympic sports or anything like that. And there was the World Class Athlete Program. So some athletes on the bobsled team at that time and a coach were part of this program. So I asked them a little bit about it. I also investigated a bit about military and the contracts and what's offered in terms of education and things of that nature. So I ended up very shortly after missing that 2010 Winter Olympics, joining the military, signing my contract in February of 2010. And I was off to basic training by April of 2010.
Yeah, I tell everybody the Army makes you grow up. You probably already let me ask you a question about the program. How did the program help you, set up training and make you, because you made it to the 2014 Olympics.
I did.
So did that training help you any?
Absolutely. I think that the military pushes discipline on you, right? It makes you want to work harder. It makes you want to achieve goals. And I think those are core values to have. When being an Olympic level athlete, you have to be able to push everything aside. You have to grind through the tough days and you have to work harder than the person that you're competing against, right?
Yeah.
There's this old adage of when you're not working, someone else is, and they're working to beat you, right? And that's like something I was always thinking about in the back of my head. Like if I'm working hard, like that's my superpower, discipline, getting up, grinding through the pain and making sure that I'm doing as much as I can to be as best as I can.
Yeah. I used to tell people I may not win everything, but I'm going to try as hard as I can on everything. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do the best I can.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you need to know that personally, right? Because you are your judge. When you don't do well, you need to be able to say, I gave it my all. And that's kind of a mantra I've lived with my whole life, whether it's in the military, in sport, in education, when I come out of the back of that thing, I want to know that I gave it my all. I don't want to have any regrets. I don't want to be able to look back and say, oh, I could have done this better, or I could have tried harder. Like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, that's what I live by also. I mean, I may not be the fastest runner, but I'm going to run as fast as I can. You know what I mean? Yeah. I did that all my life. You know, and you know, I don't want to be second best all my life. In fact, in our profession, your profession and my profession, and a lot of times, especially if you go to war, there is no second best. You either win or you lose your life. Hey, how much did your military training and discipline help you when you were? I looked at that little that hill or whatever you go down there. When you're staring down that luge run, waiting to start, did that military training help you in any way?
Yeah, I think there is a level of focus that you have to have in the military, right? And the best way I can put that as an example is listening to orders, right? When you're asked to do something, you're asked to do a very specific thing, and you're asked to do that very specific thing well. When you are on a luge sled and you're at the handles, let's say it's a race, let's say it's the Olympic race, and you're looking down the track, you can hear the crowd, you need to be able to tune out the rest of the noise and put your best performance on in that moment, just like following orders. You need to be able to do the thing that you have been training for a long time right at that exact moment.
Wow. I got to ask you another question. Have you ever had any mishaps going down that
sled? Yeah. When you're going, oh, yeah. I found myself upside down all around.
Was that right? You flipped it over? Oh, wow.
Yeah, people flip over. That's a regular occurrence. You know, sometimes there's more serious injuries. Unfortunately, we did have an athlete pass away in the 2010 games because they were ejected from the track at a high rate of speed. We've had broken backs, brain damage, broken necks, ankles. And again, you know, this kind of goes with the game that you're playing. You're going at a high rate of speed down ice tracks, right? So accidents can happen. Weather conditions can happen that lead to some accidents. So there's a lot of different variables that you're dealing with in this type of sport.
I got to ask you one more question. We'll go on to the next question in a minute. What kind of safety is there on the side? Because you're going down there and, it looks good on television, but is there a lot of safety barriers that prevent you from going off the...
The tracks, what we'll call the walls, are a certain width apart and they're a certain height. So they're all about the same internationally at every track, but that's really the level of protection that you have in terms of external environment. There's not like pads. There might be some pads on pillars if there's pillars close, but to be honest, when you're going so fast, if you are ejected, pad or no pad, it doesn't matter. That's speed meeting, standing object.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that scares me. It's something I'll never do. I appreciate you doing it. I'll watch you on TV if I ever do it again. Hey, all the work and training paid off with two trips, to the Olympics. I can't even think about that. That's the absolute pinnacle of your sport. Is it possible to sum up what reaching that kind of goal meant to you?
You know, I'll never forget the second that I walked into the 2014 opening ceremonies. It was my first Olympic Games, Sochi, Russia. You know, there was some media hype around it. But as an athlete, you're only thinking about going there and being the best that you can. And when I walked into that, I can't say that I've had that feeling ever since in my life. It was something that was so satisfying, so gratifying, the like, you made it moment. I was like, okay, we can stop the record right here. Like, I don't need to do more in my life.
Yeah,
I got to where I wanted to be. So like that level of satisfaction and knowing that it took me at that time, almost 16 years to get there. So it was something that I had been working towards. It was something that 4 years earlier, I didn't know if I could achieve, right? When I had missed that 2010 games. So to get there, it was the ultimate level of satisfaction and gratifying. And man, I was just so thankful that I was able to be there.
Yeah. One last thing here. I'm going to take a quick break. But did you draw from the audience? I mean, the audience was there and sort of motivated you a lot more to go as far. I don't know. Did they influence you?
That's a really good question. And I don't think I've been asked that before in the many interviews that I've had. One of the coolest things about being part of Team USA, and in particular that Winter Olympics that I participated in, is that we had about 250 Team USA athletes in the delegation, and we were all together in one spot. The whole team was marching in together. And coming into that stadium, you're going through a tunnel, and the whole entire 250-person delegation just starts chanting Team USA, Team USA. And it was like even my skin right now, I have like the even thinking about it, because it just echoes through you. And to know that everyone is so amped to just go and compete, it was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah. So yeah, you have that feeling that whole time.
I mean, I sort of got amped up a little bit when you were saying
that.
Hey, that's really cool. Hey, you recently pursued another goal. I want to talk about that, but we need to take a quick break. So I know you're not going to go on. Stay right there. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission video podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. And if you enjoyed the discussion, I know you are, because we're talking about something that me and you probably have never done. We're talking about an Army soldier that did the luge. It went down. Oh, I'm scared just thinking about that. It just motivates me. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do, and why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with the Army veteran and two-time Olympian, Matt Mortensen. Before we get to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support our work we're doing on behalf of veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you plan on getting rid of, or some property you have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at theamericanfreedomfoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate your support. Matt, you left the National Guard now in 2019 and moved straight into the civilian world and finance sector. Was that transition smooth for you?
I would say it was smoother than most athletes probably encounter in their time and most military members. I will say it was a strategic thing for me to be prepared upon exiting the sport and the military. I laid the groundwork by getting my bachelor's degree while I was still competing, set an actionable timeline, making sure that I had it before the end of 2018 so that I could set myself up and into the best position to be able to create those opportunities. Because I'm a believer in opportunities are created and you make your own opportunities, right? So it was smooth in the sense that I kind of had the tools to be able to showcase myself to the civilian environment and potentially land some new jobs. But what was an interesting thing that I didn't think about is that me being an Olympian was something that I'll call sparkly. It was something that stood out. It differentiated me. Being an Olympian and a military person, even more sparkly. However, most employers don't know what to do with an Olympian. They're like, cool, come in. We want to meet you. But what else you got, right? And so I think a lot of employers are far more familiar with military members. They've seen vets come through. They know that we're organized, we're disciplined, we can pay attention to orders and requirements. And so I think that actually helped me a lot more than my Olympian background coming into those interviews and everything that I did after.
Yeah. When you interviewed, was anybody that you talked to had been in the military also? Was there any-
I actually got connected with some kind of vet programs to try and source you a position, but I didn't really meet any interviewers that were former military themselves or vets. I did get, you know, get into their networks once I got to the organization, you know, affinity networks and whatnot, but I didn't meet anybody through the interview process that was a military member.
Yeah, I used to tell people, I said, when you're going to look for a job, see if anybody's in the military or been in the military, or if it was in the military, what they did in the military. So just sort of doing a little groundwork.
Yeah, I think that the corporations that I've dealt with anyways, they do have good affinity networks. They have like vet programs. They connect people that have been vets. I think they're very good at that. But yeah, through the interview process, no.
Yeah. Hey, look here, you landed a good job. Why did you decide to pursue another degree, though? You got a good job and say, hey, I'm in here, but now I'm going to get another degree. Why another degree?
I think life for me, how I take life is like a pursuit of excellence. I have time. I hope I have a lot of time left. And I want to position myself in the best possible way that'll make, you know, like a good return on investment. I always told myself that if I had the opportunity to take a master's degree and I had the time and the ability, that I would do that. And so in being a member of an Olympic team, I'm on, you know, kind of a mailing list of resources that can be used via this USOPC that are new to the platform. And one of those opportunities that came across my plate in April of 2024 was the Guild program. And via the Guild program, which is an education provider for United States Olympic and Paralympic athletes, amongst other organizations, was the ability to take an MBA through Purdue Global. And, you know, I didn't even tell my wife at the time. I got married actually in 2020, shortly after the games. And I just put in my transcript and to see if I could get accepted, which I was. So after applying in May, I was in school in July, and yeah, I submitted my last assignment yesterday. So, you know, it's another just hugely gratifying, relieving, surreal moment, but it is again with that pursuit of excellence. It probably won't do anything for me in my current job, but it does do something for me as a person.
Yeah, Matt, I just as I listen to you and I talk to you, I think starting at a very young age with your brothers and two sisters, right? Five brothers and two sisters, right? Or four brothers and two sisters. But I think you like competing. I think you like the competition. I bet you when you was a little kid and you had a race with your brother, your sister, you wanted to win everything.
I think that
carries over into life. I think you like that competition and you strive for that no matter what it is. I don't know if there's a lot of people like that. I hope there's a lot of people like you, but maybe there isn't. How difficult was it for you to balance studies full time and a job and also raising a family?
Yeah, as you said, raising a family. I have a 2.5-year-old.
So
when I signed up for that MBA, you know, we were kind of mid-flight with a 1-year-old there. So not a lot of time. And then, you know, right now I'm working in Manhattan, where I live, if you're familiar with New York and you're listening to this, in the Catskill Mountain area. So that's a 2.5-hour one-way commute 5 days a week with that coming back. So it's a full-time job, it's a full commute, schoolwork. I was taking 2 classes at a time until this last semester. And, you know, trying to be a dad to my kid and be there and be mentally present. It was a lot. It was a lot, especially when I transitioned to working. I'm now in a bank role, in institutional finance. And you have to get these called series certifications. They're finance-specific certifications that are very detailed, a lot of knowledge covered. And you have to pass those tests, 3 of them actually, within the first 3.5 to 4 months of working. So I had to do that last summer while also doing the classes. So it was really tough there for a bit. And I'm happy to have made it to the end and maintained a 4.0 through that whole time.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Especially with you must have a saint as a spouse. She's a hard worker.
She definitely, I can be difficult sometimes.
Well, I mean, but the fact of the matter, you know, you're, You marry somebody that you love, of course, and you like, and thinks the same way you do about a lot of stuff, but that's got to be a lot of stress on her. So God bless her. Hey, why was Purdue Global really a good fit for you?
Yeah, you know, for me, I think especially because I have been doing school in some type of remote capacity my whole life. Like, if you think about it, when I started Luge, I was in sixth grade when I started traveling internationally. We didn't have the internet or cool online environments, but I had one suitcase with clothes and I had one suitcase full of hardcover books. And I was faxing work from wherever I was in Europe back to the United States and, you know, completed work, whatever it was. And so I've been doing some type of remote education really my whole life. And that's how I've learned. DeVry University was completely online because I was competing and I was in the military. And then being a full-time employee now, working in finance, I also don't really have the ability to physically attend school. So yeah. The biggest allure to me was the ability to do it remotely.
Yeah, I think Purdue probably gets a lot of military that come to this Purdue University. Anyway, they got a good name and they have a lot of good areas for people to take classes in. So it's a good school. There's no question. Hey, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to hear more about how you feel about finally having your MBA. So stay right there, Matt. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Quality insurance will set you up for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Blue Cross and Blue Shield has demonstrated for decades.
It adds to your longevity of life because we want to be there for our loved ones. We want to be there for our family.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed here today with two-time Olympian Army veteran Matt Mortensen. Remember, this is your show. There's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please let me know what you'd like us to cover on the show. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Matt, once again, your hard work has paid off and you finally completed that MBA this spring. How does it feel? And you said a minute ago you got a lot more sleep now, so go ahead and tell me how it feels.
Yeah, that's what I'm most looking forward to, you know? Looking back on this past 2 years, sleep is something that I have not had a lot of. And, you know, I probably won't for too much longer because we do have another baby on the way.
Congratulations.
You know, maybe I'll sleep from now until roughly June. But, you know, again, it's just really satisfying. I'm so happy that I did this. If I didn't take a crack at getting a master's degree, it's just something that I think would have eaten at my brain as I got older. So I'm really happy to kind of have that done now. And, you know, it's still surreal. Like, you get so used to being in the routine of doing something and planning your time around it. And now that I don't have to do that, it's just relieving, too.
Well, you like challenges.
Yeah.
But, you know, you like challenges. You want people to test you, and you want to compete, and that's just another competition for you. And you don't want to be last. You want to be first. And so, you know, keep moving, keep pushing. That's great advice for anybody. What advice would you give someone thinking about going back to school? Any advice?
Yeah, I think there's a handful of things. The first is be ready. Be ready mentally to do it, right? Don't commit yourself to something that you can't do all the way. That's something that I think about personally. I don't want to be able to do, or I don't want to go into something only being able to put half of myself forward. I want to be able to fully apply. As it applies to school, know that investing in your education is very worth it, right? Knowledge is power. That's a real thing. If you have more education from a resume perspective, you're going to look better to potential employers. And you're also going to know how to operate in various environments a lot better, especially with a master's degree. And then the last one that I would say is my own advice for someone looking to get higher education, choose your education wisely, especially in the days that we find ourselves in with artificial intelligence and, you know, various jobs disappearing, really. That might be a really big thing in the next couple of years. I personally chose an education that I thought was broadly applicable, that wouldn't silo me into a particular part of business or a particular industry. I wanted something that everybody knew that was broadly applicable and that would position me the best for multiple opportunities, not a single one.
Yeah. Matt, you know what I always tell people? It's not about the day. It's about 10 years down the road or 15 or 20 or, you know, it's about your children, your family. It's every, you know, everything, all the above anyway. So, yeah, that's, I think you're going in the right direction. Keep pushing. Keep challenging yourself. That's for doggone sure. Hey, you plan on having any more? Now you have one child, 2.5, right? You're gonna have one more.
I have one right now, two and a half year old, and then his name is Mason. He's a young boy. He's great. And then we're actually having a little girl at the end of June.
Oh man, that's great. That's great. Hey Matt, this has been a great discussion. Do you have any final thoughts? Something that maybe you want to share with the audience that we hadn't talked about, or you know?
Yeah, I think keeping in tune with the title of this podcast. I think you have to know that your next mission doesn't just show up for you, right? You have to build it. You have to invest in yourself before seeing the reward of doing so, right? In the spirit of creating your own opportunities, right? Investing in yourself, whether that be education or getting more fit or whatever it is, right? But like, you create your own opportunities. And lastly, if you want a change in life, be that change. Start now. Don't wait.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people just go home and sit on the couch and don't do anything. And that's not a good way to live your life. Get out, be motivated, challenge yourself. No matter what you're competing in or doing, do the best you can, you know. So, hey, I just thank you for what you've done. Thank you for being a soldier. I like that too.
Yeah.
And thanks to your family for allowing you to spend a little bit of time with us today. And God bless you for what you've done and what you continue to do for this great country.
Thank you, Sergeant Major. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show.
God bless. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks again to Matt Mortensen for being with us. I'm Jack Dilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and check out our job board, partnership with the Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. You know, it's pretty impressive to have an Olympian on the show. I mean, I'm just sort of pumped up. He was a tough soldier, a Sergeant E5, but more than anything else, he challenged himself all the way through life. You know, he said he had 7 kids in his family, counting him, 7. And I'm sure that competition was tough, but people strive on competition. In life, do the best you can each and every day. Don't just, I said it a minute ago, just don't sit on the couch and not do nothing. Get out, challenge yourself, get an education, but do something for you and your family. As you get a little bit older, like me, of course, time is so short. Don't waste it. Do everything you can to make your life better each and every day. And education is a big part of that for me and you. Thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Studios, and of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.